This morning, we're going to continue thinking about waiting. You know, almost all of life involves waiting for one thing or another. We wait 9 months for a birth of a baby. We wait for exam results. We wait as expectant parents for exam results. We wait in queues for the tills at supermarkets. Or we may wait at this time of year for a table in a busy restaurant. When Janet and I were in America a few weeks ago, we had the opportunity, well, Katie treated us to a trip to the Cheesecake Factory. Now, I don't know if you're familiar with the Cheesecake Factory, but making a decision on which cheesecake to have is an impossibility. The list is endless, or it seems endless. But so it seems is the wait for the table. But there, they take your phone number so that you can go off and do all the shopping and things, and they ring you when your table's ready. So you can have a period of active waiting, active patience, whilst you're waiting for your table with the expectation of a huge slice of cheesecake to come. And that sort of introduces what we're going to be thinking about today, thinking about how, whilst we wait, we can wait with an active patience. So I wonder, as Christmas approaches, how patient are you when it comes to waiting? Will you, for example, patiently eat one chocolate per day from your advent calendar? Or would you be like me, if not prevented, and scoff them all in the first weekend? Can you resist having a sneaky look at the presents under the tree? Are you holding back on putting your decorations up until a few days before Christmas? Or have they been up for a month already? Do you save the Christmas music until December? Or has Michael Bublé been on since September? So last week, Lisa opened up our sermon series, Worship in the Waiting, by looking at that difficult passage from the 21st chapter of Luke's Gospel, and opened up what that passage has to say about actively waiting for Jesus, actively waiting for Jesus to come back, for the fulfillment of God, of the Bible's promise that Jesus will return and bring his fullness to the kingdom on earth. If we're honest, many of us can struggle with that idea. You might have heard some teaching which is confusing or scary. Some believers seem obsessed by the idea of Jesus' return. On the other hand, there are others who might be put off by these more extreme interpretations and do their best to ignore the idea of the second coming altogether. After all, it has been 2,000 years since Jesus returned to heaven. So it's understandable if people give up and hope that God will ever return and put the earth right. But this morning, our overarching theme is about one about our active patience. So I want to think about this with reference to the passage that Sarah read for us earlier, and thinking about where is this coming. So we're looking at verse 4. Not slow but patient, from verse 9. And thinking about the cleansing fire, from verse 12. So firstly, where is this coming? If you feel like asking that, you're not alone. Many of the first Christians lived with an eager expectation that Jesus would return in their lifetime. But after just a few years, some of them began to lose hope. We can see this in this letter from Peter. Verses 3 and 4 say, above all, you must understand that in the last days scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. They will say, where is this coming he promised? Ever since our ancestors died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation. Is this familiar to you? You might have heard this from non-Christian friends, or perhaps even wondered about it yourself. Isn't 2,000 years a long time to wait for the return of Jesus. It might seem so to us in human terms, but Peter goes on to explain, exhorting us to think in terms of God being not slow, but patient. Peter's first response to this question of where is this coming is quite brilliant. In verse 9, he says, "The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient." I wonder if you know anyone who eats ice creams in a huge hurry, bolting them down as if it were a race. Then they look at their friend who has just taken three tiny licks from their bowl and says, "Why are you so slow?" The friend might reply, "I'm not slow. I'm savouring every bite. I'm patient." Oh, oh, for some caramel, salted caramel ice cream. Knowing that God is patient and prepared to wait should challenge the hurriedness of our modern lives. Do you feel like you should rush from one thing to another? Are you always looking for the fastest checkout in the supermarket? Do you get annoyed when your computer seems to take an age to download something, or your child dawdles over putting on their shoes? Maybe we need to learn that what might feel like slowness to us can at the same time be a lesson in godly patience. Beyond this, Peter tells us that God has a vital reason why he is holding back his return. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Peter knew that the final return of Jesus would come with judgment over the earth. Jesus' cross and resurrection mean that when we believe in him, we have no fear of that judgment. But entering into God's kingdom does require us to believe in him and to come to Jesus in repentance. For this reason, God is patiently holding back the return of Christ so that everyone on earth has the chance to respond to his gift of forgiveness and restoration. Peter goes on in his letter to describe the impact of God's judgment on creation, the impact of being a cleansing fire. Peter describes God's judgment like this: "But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything done in it will be laid bare." For various reasons, this passage has been misunderstood to mean that God is going to destroy the earth. This has fed the mistaken idea that the Christian hope consists only of a spiritual heaven. But the idea ignores the wider biblical picture which Peter is drawing on. Promise of Isaiah 65 and 66 of a new heaven and a new earth. Peter spells it out in verse 13. "In keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth." This is the same new heaven and new earth that John sees in the book of Revelation, chapter 21. An important question here is, what kind of new are these writers describing? There is a Greek word, neo, which means new in the sense that it didn't exist before. But this isn't the word used in these passages. Peter and John in Revelation both use the word kainos, which means having a new quality about it, being renewed or remade. It's the same word which describes our transformation as Christians in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. "You are a new creation, a kainos creation. The old sinful broken life has gone. The renewed, holy and restored life has come." God is not planning to put the earth in a bin. He's not planning to put the earth in a bin and start again. He's planning to refine it, to remake it and renew it. We heard from Kevin a couple of weeks ago when he preached from Malachi that God's judgment is a cleansing fire which burns off impurities. Malachi 3 says, "But who can endure the day of his coming? Who can stand when he appears? For he will be like a refiner's fire or a launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver." We can find the same concepts in Zechariah chapter 13, verse 9, and in Peter's first letter, chapter 1, verse 7. God's judgment is a fire that will refine the earth until only pure gold is left. So the picture Peter is painting here is of God's final judgment burning up all that is unjust, all that is impure, all that is ungodly, laying bare in the earth until the old order of things has been destroyed and the original intention of God has been restored. In Revelation, the city of God comes down from heaven to earth. The old order of things has passed away, and God promises to be with us on this restored planet forever. The thrust of Peter's letter and the final words of his third chapter encourages his readers to live an active life, patience and expectation. When you are waiting for something, knowing what you are waiting for changes how you wait. A child waiting for a Christmas present has a very different attitude to a child who's waiting for the dentist. You wait for your wedding day in a very different way to waiting for your car MOT. We are not waiting for an eternity of sitting on clouds or an endless church service or an infinite sermon. We are waiting for the restoration of heaven and earth with every good thing made new and with abundant life for all. It was once described to me as when there is a new heaven and a new earth, trees will be treeier than before. Clouds will be cloudier than before. The blue sky will be bluer than before. It will be as if we were all living again in the Garden of Eden. Knowing what God will do when Jesus returns ought to change how we live today. Peter writes, "Since everything of the old order of things will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. So then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him." Since this is our ultimate goal, Peter says, here is how we should live. We live in ways which please God. We should live in ways which imitate Jesus. We should live in ways which work for the good of his creation, in ways which build community and society. And above all, we should live in ways which seek justice and fairness. Our lives should communicate the kingdom of God in how we speak and live, and so not only proclaim it, but even somehow speed its coming. For when everyone has made their commitment to acknowledge Jesus as their Lord and Saviour, when everyone has acknowledged Jesus as King in their heart and with their lips, then we can be sure that God will bring forth that day when we will see a new heaven and a new earth, and that day in which we can all dwell in peace with God. Amen.